Shoveling Faces is old too.
Oh yeah, you know, tomorrow. Almost forgot.
Yeah, Shoveling Faces is old team tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, how can you sum up, you know, the 8 games that he's been here? And, you know, I know he's playing a big role for you.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, he's had an 8-assist game. You know, he's had a game where he's had to guard. I think he's had different kind of tastes of what we need from him in that position. And, you know, just be patient with his ability to kind of keep putting those things together and getting to know our group. But I think he's making a good transition. And a lot of that is a compliment to Bud and their staff and that team that knows how to play. And to him, of course.
When you look at one of the things that has been a trend for you guys, I mean, you guys have had double-figure leads and wasted double-figure leads in 4 consecutive games. You know, is that an emphasis going forward? And, you know, is that part of the NBA?
It's depth. Our bench played really well against New Orleans. And we've got to get good effort from those guys consistently. Or when we lose a guy like Rodney for basically a game against Toronto, it's going to be really hard. And there's also, you know, there's a learning curve for us, you know, for those situations. Just like that, I think they're, you know, try to figure out when we're losing those leads, you know. And it happened against New Orleans. It's going to be an ebb and a flow to the game, right? But how can we respond during those moments? And we responded great against New Orleans at the end of the third quarter. You're not always going to respond that dramatically, but it's certainly something we're aware of. And, you know, when we get some guys, you know, clicking, coming off the bench and making some shots and making some plays and playing defense, I think, you know, that's obviously really important.
How do you try to do that then, I guess?
Keep working at it, you know. Guys got to step up, and that's kind of where we are as a team. It's just there isn't – I mean, it happens, I think, to a lot of teams. You know, the flip side of it is you could look at how well we're playing to get a lead. You know, so obviously we've got a good thing going there. You know, earlier in the year we weren't starting games well. So, you know, you kind of plug one hole in the other hole. So I think one of the things we're trying to do is just be very conscious of our rotations and substitution patterns to try to give guys, you know, the best opportunity to succeed with certain combinations. But even that, it's, you know, you can do that, and some days you'll yield one result and some days the other. So it's, you know, it's hard to tinker with it too much as opposed to just say, hey, guys, you know, let's be conscious of this. And, you know, when people raise the physicality of the game, let's respond to that. Let's make sure we're moving the ball, you know, so we can get good shots. Don't take a bad shot. Don't turn the ball over. Those are the things that transition defense, turnovers, you know, and lack of physicality. I think when the physicality of the game raises and referees start letting you bump and grind more, how do we respond in those moments?
You played Trevor and Joe first off the bench in New Orleans, and then I think you did Trey and Chris first in Toronto. Against Memphis, sorry.
Yeah, really situational.
Is it a matchup thing, I guess, is what I was going to ask, or
some
do you
of
want
it,
to keep it consistent?
It's a little bit of both. You know, I in a perfect world, you know, it might be consistent because I think on some level it's easier for the players. But I don't think any of our players, you know, are at a point where they've just earned that spot outright, you know, based on how they've, you know, and it's not to say someone's played poorly at a given time. Someone's played well. You know, Trey goes in against Boston and bam, bam, bam. And then, you know, the next night it's a different type of game. You know, we felt like, you know, Memphis' physicality, again, lineups too, right? You know, you start big, and Trey's been good against pressure. Book, certainly. I played them both. Can't remember who I played first. I think I played Book first against New Orleans, and then Trey didn't play the second half because Book played really good.
Yeah.
And he kept playing good. So some of that's going to be hit and miss, and it's hindsight's 20/20, but that's kind of where we are.
Where is Alec in returning to the bench in terms of his injury?
I think it's premature to even try to project that because he's not, I don't know where he is physically yet. But he's going to have to reintegrate himself. I mean, our team, and he will. You know, I think he will. He's a good player. But that's what happens when you have an injury. The same thing happened to Rudy, Fave. You know, it'll happen to Dante next year. You know, so that's going to be the case.
Can you see Alec at least returning a uniform at some point this week?
I don't know if this week. I mean, every time I try to predict it, you know, I don't know. So hopefully in the next week or two would be my hope. I mean, he's doing more and more. And it's just, you know, you see guys come back from injury and get hurt again. I mean, it happens. And you know, it happened this summer with Dante. Came back from his ankle and he hurt his knee. Came back, you know, when Rudy came back from his knee, is his balance the right where he hurts his other knee? Or, you know, it's such a complicated thing. And we just, our medical staff is just very aware of it. And I'd much rather err on the side of conservatism, and that's what we do. And so that's where it's going to be with him, too.
Talk a little about your team, just how they've dealt with, you know, mixing and matching, you know, because of the injuries and different things and situations.
Yeah, it's you know, it's how I know how I feel about it. And it's you know, you're constantly adjusting, and I think it's the true of the players, too, obviously from a different vantage point. But, you know, it's just the nature of the reality that we're dealing with right now. And as Tony said, you know, Alec's going to come back, and you try to predict how he's going to get reintegrated. And it's hard to say, you know, if he comes back and he's playing great, you know, that impacts it. So some of it depends on how guys are playing. You know, Rudy went through a rough patch, I think, when he came back. He didn't look like he had his timing or anything, and he started to play better right now. You know, Fave, the same thing. And you're playing, you know, Fave's playing during a period without Rudy, and then Rudy's playing without Fave. And now, you know, Rodney and Gordon played without Alec for a while. I mean, and Shelvin's back. He's new. So there's a lot of components, and sometimes it's hard. You know, Trey Lyles started for a good chunk of games, and then now he's sharing time with Book coming off the bench. We've just had a lot of that, and, you know, players got to deal with it. It's sad. I mean, that's what it means, you know. And I do, too. And we just got to do it together and keep the, you know, the biggest thing is just the welfare of the team and the team's first, and been fortunate. That's how all of our guys have handled it.
You talk about Shelvin kind of giving you a third bite at the apple, third shot at getting consistent point guard play. How do you decide if a guy's not having a good night and, you know, it's time to play Neto or...
Yeah, well, I think we've you know, with Shelvin, there's a stability there that he offers with, you know, the things that he can do on the floor. And, you know, we felt that, and it's not real. It doesn't make sense to make that trade and then not act on it. I mean, that's a decision that you make before you trade for him. But, and he's rewarded that, I think, with his play. Every game's not been good, but you can see what we see. And he's had an 8-assist game. I don't think we've had an 8-assist game from anyone else this year during the course of the whole year. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think Gordon had 9 assists.
Okay.
Well, enough. Yeah, right. I guess not enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you see windows and, you know, the size and some of the things he's able to do defensively. And then, really, it's become kind of a game-to-game thing. You know, we couldn't score against Brooklyn. We had an 11-point quarter, I think. Or maybe that was Memphis. Gets mixed up. Some of the woes we've had trying to score the ball. And those have been times when, you know, I've put Trey in the game to try to juice things up. You know, Raul consistently, by every account, is, you know, a good defender. And that's what he's given us. And, you know, primarily for me off the bench, that's something that I want off the bench. And so that said, the way the rest of the substitution patterns evolve, you know, no different than Trey Lyles and Trevor, you know, and Book. The difference there is Fave moves to the five. You know, in this case, Shelvin's moved to the two a couple times. And we've played those guys together some, which I think has, especially, you know, against Toronto when they had a smaller backcourt. So there's going to be those fluctuations, but, you know, you'd like to have a little bit of consistency for their sake. But it's, you know, I've told them all. I talked to Trey about it the other day. I've talked to Howell and talked to Shelvin. You know, Shelvin had a game, I think, I don't remember what game, he basically came out about the 6-minute mark in the second half, didn't go back in. So, because he wasn't playing well, so nobody's differentiated themselves in a way that says Shelvin has in my mind. You know, I mean, that's clear, obviously, because he's starting and I'm playing in more minutes. But he hasn't been in shape yet, and you know, as that happens, we'll adjust to it. But I think, you know, again, you know, the decision to play Howell is based on his ability to defend, by and large, and that consistency that he provides us.
The other day, Dwayne Casey compared Derek to Karl Malone. I was curious if you...
Comparison.
Yeah. Derek said he doesn't feel like he's anywhere near that.
It's tough to be near one of the all-time greats, right?
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
See some of his game? I mean, he was specifically talking about...
Where have you been,
game.
By the way? You weren't here earlier.
I know. I'm...
Missed you, man.
Rough day.
Okay.
All right. I'm here now.
All right. What do you got?
Just that he really liked the power game that's evolving and the mid-range game that Derek... It's kind of some touches that Karl Malone used to have.
Yeah. No, I think that those two... And they really go hand in hand. You know, Derek can't just all of a sudden be a jump shooter at his size. But the ability to hit that shot is, you know, makes him difficult to guard, especially in pick and roll when he's spaced. You know, he's been doing it with the half roll. He's doing it a little more now in a spacing situation, which helps, you know, because a lot of times they won't, you know, they don't guard both our bigs a lot of times. You know, they play in the middle of the lane, you know, and that's what Zach did in Memphis. So the ability to do those things is a big help. But comparing him to Carl, that's quite a compliment and one that he should take that way and not feel like he's got to be that or live up to that, but I think in the spirit that it was meant, it's just, you know, I think the biggest thing for Fave is how good does he want to be?
Yeah.
You know, how good, you know, how much does it burn in him? And we're seeing more and more that, you know, of signs that it does. And that's something that you learn, you know, over time too. No one at 16 knows how to work on the level that they do at 22. And, you know, that maturity and, as you get older, as a veteran, you figure out all these things. You figure out how to take better care of yourself, and you know, you shoot more, you work harder, stay in better shape, and it's called being a professional. And you know, Karl Malone was one of the all-time professionals, and to go with, you know, all-time ability. So
Booker said the favorites played mad the other night in New Orleans, and he was going to try to piss him off before every game if it meant that was going to be the result. Did you see that there was some more aggression?
You know what? I think he was really focused and engaged. And that, you know, that whatever kind of emotional, you know, place you're in to you know, to get you to a point where you're concentrating on every possession and each possession really is important to you. I think that's where he was. And if Book has to make him mad, that's okay with me.
It's the only 28-11-6 game all season.
Is it really?
By any player in the NBA.
It's pretty good.
Says something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I tried to make him mad.